Testing, testing. Well, praise God. While we're on the sock theme, I have my Sunday socks on. I only so I know what day of the week it is. It's got so anyway. I just thought I'd follow the theme. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome. Really, when you show up, we are superfluous. We don't need to be. You can do your business. Do your business in this place. Touch hearts and lives and reveal yourself and do what you do best. Reveal Jesus. So we ask you today, come. You are welcome in this place. Fill words with your presence. Speak to hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. And the saints of God say, amen. Amen. I've got one notice as well. On the 1st of November, we will have our fireworks display. Last year we had 800 people or something. It's great. It's a good evening. It's a good excuse to come out. It's free. So that's 5:30. Yeah. All right. My title for today, Nigel will like this, not because of the title, but because of this. It is, Are You in the Way? Could you just graciously turn to somebody sitting next to you and ask them a question? Are you in the way? Now that's got your attention, isn't it? All right? Good. Before we start, let me give you... You read these stories and you don't know if they're true or not, but I hope it is. The story goes, on an old tombstone was etched. Ready? Paul's stranger when you pass by, for as you are, so once was I. As I am, so you will be. Prepare for death and follow me. Well, it's quite profound if you think about it. So there's a scratching underneath which said, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. And the way is so important. This is why I'm asking, do you know which way you're in, or are you in the way? How important it is to choose the right way. If you don't choose the right way, what happens? You get lost and you do not arrive at your destination. Straightforward enough, isn't it? The Bible's a wonderful book, you know. People ought to read it more often. And it says this, Book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. I want to do it, Frank Sinatra. He did it his way. All of us, I'll do it my way. And we know where that ends. How many of us have known something staring us in the face and we shouldn't go there, but we have gone there because we're going to do what we're going to do because we are going to do it. You know, I could tell you story after story as the pastor of a church where you've said to people, do not do that. This, a road accident's going to happen. You can see all the warning signs. Do not go there. And then people go there. And guess what happens? A train crash. And then they come to you. Where's God in all this? God was back there saying, warning, flashing light, don't go there. But oh no, I want to do my thing. So we need to be very wise. This is what the NEB says. The road seems straightforward to a man, and yet it may end in the way of death. Those of you who want to be profound, the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which was done way, 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 way back in the... way, way back. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end of it is at the bottom of Hades. I like that. The place of departed spirits. There's a way that seems right, but the bottom of it is Hades. Jesus put it like this. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter in. But the narrow gate, but you enter by the narrow gate. Into the way, which is difficult. But the end is life. Two choices, two ways. And we have to choose which one we're going to walk. And one's wide. The whole world around us. You know, many people are in it. Yeah, what? Can't be wrong. Everybody's doing it. Remember the one, it's easier to fall in with the march than ask where the march is going. Remember that famous one about the English people? We love queuing, don't we? They put up a sign and said, queue here. For no reason, people started queuing up. Never bothered to ask why they were queuing, but because everybody's doing it. And of course, once you get five or six, everybody's on it now. There must be something at the end of this. It's the same with the world, isn't it? Some of the things that are going on now, you've got to ask questions. But it can't be wrong, because everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it, doing it, doing it, picking their nose and chewing it. It can't be wrong, because everybody's doing it. Since when has political correctness been Bible truth? Seriously, let's ask some questions. See, nobody can start. You can't, even now, you can't ask questions. But I'm going to ask you a question. Since when has political correctness been Bible truth? Now, another one for you. Who ever appointed people who tell us what is politically correct? And yet, good British people, we queue up. It's the same with sin. You know, we live in a world now where marriage is... children often are an inconvenience, or let them grow like weeds. Don't you dare stop them. Don't you dare get involved and say, no, you can't do that. You may damage their personalities. You may make them become suppressed. They may need counselling. Because you said no. Oh, you laugh. But it's the world we're living in. And there's this way that so many of us, if we're not careful, even in the house of God, start aimlessly walking down and asking where it's going to end. Two ways. The easy way. It's wide, lots of people in it. Or the narrow way. Which is difficult. I love that. Narrow is the way and difficult. Who likes being unpopular? You can't, let's all wear a badge. now you're unpopular for being a Christian. I'm lost. Our world can say people who are supposed to love and be kind and only want to do good and everything else, suddenly now we've become bad people. Don't say you're a Christian. Don't tell anybody you're a Christian. Oh, you're a reactionary. You're a, huh? No, what I said was no. Or even better, why? Now, Doug, please do not ask the question why. Why is it all right to do this or all that? Because we tell you it's right. My friend, I'm just flavouring the pot for you, because if we're not careful, we are all in the wrong way. The only trouble with that is, because it's well trodden, it may well be going in the wrong direction. And you will not arrive at your destination. Does that make sense to you? Please, I know I'm labouring this, but because I want to. So Thomas says, Jesus, I'm going away and all this. He says, then how can we know the way? Remember that, John 14? 5, is it? And then John 14:6, Jesus turns around and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. You want to know what the way is? Firstly, the way is a person. That's as simple as that. When was the last time you hung out with that person? I was pondering on all this stuff about him taking my right hand and me and him walking off together. He knows the way. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 says he has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. He walks with us. No? Someone says, yeah, you can do this. It doesn't hurt too much. He walks with us. We are not alone on this way as we walk with him who is the way. Now, who's got children or had children or now you know the right way to go, don't you? But how often do your little darlings precious little darlings, sweet little darlings, know a better way? So now you know the way because you've experienced it and you've been there before, but oh no, they will then try to pull away from your grip. How many of us try to pull away from the grip of God? All he wants to do is for us to walk with him. I hold your right hand, saying, fear not, I will help. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you always. But how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Amos 3, chapter 3, verse 3. We don't walk with him because we want to go our own way. But firstly, let's resolve this. He is the way, and he knows the way. So we come into the way when we become Christian, and then we walk the way as we walk with him. First question then, are you in the way? Right. Are you walking with Jesus? Have you ever entered into the way where you said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, I repent, be my saviour, I want to walk with you? That's what's Christian life. You see, the Christian life is meant to be me walking with God. He knows the way because he is the way. He knows the way because he's been there before us. And therefore, we are to walk with him in life. My question's an easy one, really, isn't it? Are you in the way? Turn with me to Isaiah, chapter 35. And probably when I come to speak for you for the next 2 years, I'll probably stay around this text. Isaiah 35 and verse 8. Because I want to talk about a subject that as soon as you hear it, you're going to think, oh dear. Who's ever heard this word holiness? And who ever, when they hear it, think, oh dear. Yeah, because we've got a conception, perception of what holiness is. When we talk about holiness, I'm old, by the way, and I've been around church a lot of years. I mean, a lot of years. I told you before, Abraham and I used to go to the same church. And when you've been around church as long as me, you can remember when holiness equated to don't wear makeup. Whatever you do, don't wear makeup. Don't wear trousers. Oh my word, Deuteronomy 22:5, do not wear trousers. We ain't got to the hat yet. And then you had to have a hat with all the fruit on it. Yeah, more fruit than Tesco. You know, and then, of course, and then it comes down to who had the biggest hat, the best hat, and the pride. But anyway, so don't wear makeup. Oh, I haven't told you a story today, have I? So let me tell you a story. So when I got saved, I had hair. Man, I had lots of hair. You know, you stopped and your hair kept going. But I got saved. I mean, radically saved. I mean, I am a Christian. I'm right with God. Big beard. I mean, things breeding in it. Great big beard. But I got saved. So my friend is... I've not got time to tell you that story. My friend gets saved. And we end up going to... And he marries the girl he's been living with. And we end up going to the church. But it was a Pentecostal church. Old school Pentecostal church. So now we walk in there. I've got hair. Saved, loving Jesus. And I actually put my suit on, I was all dressed up. My wife let me down. I blame the woman. No hat. Makeup. Trousers. I walked in, it's like every eye in the building went, I didn't know the devil had a wife. I mean, it was absolutely crazy. But anyway, that's another story. But holiness has got nothing to do with the way we dress. Other than, let's throw it in there, your dress should be modest. Men. I don't want to see what you have for breakfast. Your apparel should be modest. That's about the best. Let not yours. Oh, I know, we're not going there. Because, again, I have been around. So, I've got hair. Da, da, da. Yeah. And good Christian people with their short back and sides. I mean, I've just been saved, so. Let's come up. Do you not know, brother? It's wrong for man to have long hair. So, of course, me being me. Oh, really? Where does it say that in the Bible? It's 1 Corinthians 13, by the way. Well, it's not. It's 1 Corinthians. It says, judge not for yourself. And I used to turn around and say to them, well, and you'd watch them call up. And I turn around and say, well, listen, it says, judge not for yourself. I've judged. I'm happy to have long hair. But then when I went home one day, this lovely woman here, my conscience, said to me, Ken, don't you think maybe your hair is putting people off the gospel? off. That's the difference, isn't it? There's a difference between conviction and this religious nonsense. Judge not for yourself. So, I'm going to talk about holiness. Isaiah 35 verse 8, and then I'll get going. And a highway, remember we're talking about the way? Are you in the way? On the way? And a highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called, the highway of holiness, and no unclean thing shall pass over it. So, as I say, you hear this, and straight away, condemnation descendeth. Well, I'm not holy enough. I've got to lose my Essex accent. How holy, you try saying that on the quick, how holy does one have to be holy enough? Who sets the bar? See, the problem is you will never, ever, ever, ever be holy enough of yourself. Of yourself. Now this, you've got two extremes. You've got legalism. Thou shalt not, thou must not, thou cannot. And you've got license. Hey, it's all grace, I'm saved, I can do what I like. Neither of those are true. But we as individuals tend to oscillate between one or the other. What's the first thing you do when you go right, get it wrong? Oh, I've got to do it. Oh, I've got to somehow or another. If only I can do more. If only I can earn God's forgiveness. If only I can be better. Then I'll be all right. You won't be. Who's ever tried that? I'll give you a good illustration. Who's just kind of got convicted that they should pray more? So they're going to get up 5 o'clock in the morning and pray. Except for you, because you get up to go 4 o'clock in the morning in your case. They're going to get up 5 o'clock in the morning and pray. How many mornings did it last? Yeah, exactly. D.L. Moody said this, I decided I was going to pray all night like Mr. Luther. I woke up being a very tired Mr. Moody. I think if God's not called you to it, he doesn't give you the grace to do it. True. We cannot earn God's favour. We cannot earn God's merit. This should stop you being condemnatory. Once you realise that you ain't all you are, you pretend to be. And that you will never be good enough. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need a saviour. That's why we need to walk with him. And now we'll come to what we want to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11 says this, speaking of us. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. Prior to this, it says, some of you were drunkards, some of you were homosexuals, some of you were thieves, some of you were murderers. But then you became Christian. Then you were washed. Then you were sanctified. Then you were justified. You were washed. What happens when you are washed? You become good. When you are sanctified, it literally means to be set apart for holy use. Why would God want to use me? Ready? The next excuse. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, but you were washed. And now God can set you apart for holy use. Ah, but you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You were justified. Do you know what the word justified means? It means to get the verdict. God has spoken over your life, not guilty. When the devil comes back and says to you, I remember what you did last week. God says, not guilty. Who do you believe? Oh, but Ken, I don't need to know. Isn't it funny? The devil's your best friend when you get it wrong. He don't trouble you. Let's be honest. When you're living for God, really, he tempts you and everything, but he don't trouble you. But when you get it wrong, my friend, suddenly you've got this best buddy who wants to, oh, look how bad you are. Look at you, how you mess. Oh, how could God ever want to? But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. The two elements used for washing, just put that in there. 1 Corinthians 1, 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. Yeah. No, verse 9. If you confess your sin, he is faithful to judge. It is 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Hang on, it does what? From all past and the stuff that we confess now, present. People abuse this text and say it means future. It doesn't at all. It means where we are now. God has forgiven my past and he's cleansing my present by the blood of Jesus Christ. How does that work? Ephesians 5:26. By the washing of the water of the word. You get in the Bible gets in you. God says, I forgive you. You start receiving his forgiveness and the cleansing comes, the cleansing comes, the cleansing comes. So these two elements are ours. Jesus has opened them for us. So there we are now. We have been washed. We have been sanctified, we have been justified. And now I'm going to come to another word that you don't like, well, you don't understand, because whenever you hear it, you feel uncomfortable. Righteousness. Who knows what that means?
Right standing in God.
Right standing in God. Oh, yes, all right. That's near enough. Right standing with God. To be able to come into God's presence and not feel guilty, not feel condemned, not feel unwelcome, not feel like, why would he ever entertain someone like me? Righteousness is the right to stand in God's presence without fear of being kicked out. If that's the case, everyone says, well, I'm sorry, that lets me, I'm out the loop. I messed up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I want you to see today that you can come before God and enjoy being in his presence. I loved the song today, in your presence, Lord. But so many of us, if I said to you, oh, do you want to come into the presence of God? Your next thing is, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? I'm not good enough. I don't deserve it. I remember this. I remember that. But you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the washing of the water of the word. That's who you are. But if you listen to a lie of the devil.
Right.
2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. Now, this is He made him, speaking of Jesus, to be sin. He laid on us the sin of us all. He laid on him the sin of us all. He didn't say, he said, made him to be sin. What's God's attitude towards sin? Look at Calvary. When Jesus bore your sin, he became the embodiment of sin, if you want. He made him to who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become
righteousness.
Pardon me?
Righteousness of God.
Pardon me?
The righteousness of God.
That you might become the righteousness of God in him. Listen. Oh, Ken, I don't understand what you're saying. All right, Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Tell me if I'm wrong. It says, those who have received the abundance of his grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Ready now? It's a gift which gives me the ability and the right to stand in God's presence without fear of rejection, condemnation, or everything else. And it is a gift. As long as I'm walking in this highway, this holy way that he has made. I don't make it. He has made it. You see people take this too far and sort of say, well, I'll just live any hour I like because I'm the righteousness of God. It's all of grace anyway.
Yeah.
That is a load of rubbish. Firstly, it makes it so cheap. It makes the death of Jesus Christ so cheap. It just gives me an excuse to live as I like. There is a highway. It's quite a narrow way. It's quite a difficult way. It's a highway of holiness. And I walk in it, and I stand in God's presence, righteous. Forgiven. Who understands what, I feel one of those moves today, that word forgiveness, who knows what that means? Oh, I've been let off. No, it don't. It literally means to send away. My sins have been forgiven. God don't even remember them no more. Why should I remember them? God has spoken over my life that you are the righteousness of God in Christ as a gift. Why are you saying all of this, Ken? Because I think too many people live under a dark cloud. Too many people sit and listen to the devil. We all sit there and just, and we start believing it. But Jesus said, John 8:32. Tis, you're right. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to tell you today that Jesus died, shed his blood, washed away my sin, that I can come into his presence and enjoy fellowship with him without this sense of, oh, you don't know where I've come from. How many people you say to them, oh, I'll pick on you, God wants to use you, oh, you don't know. If you knew what I'm in the kingdom, but God won't want to use me because I've not prayed enough. When is enough enough? I've not worshipped enough. How much is enough? God wants you, not because of you, but because Jesus paid the price for you. And now we are accepted in the beloved with our problems. Do you know my wife married me, poor woman? With my problems. And I know you find them hard to believe. I know, thank you. It's very hard to believe. But she married me with my problems. Do you know, God took you with your problems. We used to use this one, and it's one I've always spoken over my own life, that God reached down into a dustbin, pulled out some broken old thing, old clock, something all beaten up and battered, and said, I can use that. I can make something out of that. And that's what he says about you. You're too busy trying to make yourself clean. You will never make yourself clean enough. Don't mean we give up and just kind of, oh, that's all right then. But it means don't build yourself some greasy, slippery pole that you will never be able to climb to the top. You are what God said you are. You are forgiven. You are righteous. And what's the word there? To stand in his presence. And I've got a right to stand in his presence. I haven't got to kind of sit at the black and... Now I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures from the book of Hebrews. Let us come boldly. Please, it's an easy word to spit out. Say boldly. Boldly. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may receive grace and mercy to help in time of need. If you feel like you're, you know, unwelcome and below the standard, you ain't going to come boldly. But once you realise that Christ has done it all, he has opened for us a new and living way into the presence of God. Let us come boldly. Why? Because I'm forgiven. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses me from all sin. Why? Because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And until we get that risen, I'll give you another one, just because you always think people want. James chapter 6, and is it verse 16, where it says, the fervent, effectual prayer of what sort of person? The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Who is a righteous person? Those who are walking in this way of holiness, walking in the light of God's word, walking in what God has made them in Christ. Now someone should be happy with this, because I think if you take nothing else from this today, you can sit down and call the devil a liar. If you take no greater pleasure than that, John 8:44, he's a liar and the father of liars. When he comes, can I just teach you one more thing? Another scripture that's misused. Romans chapter 8. Oh, brother, I know this one off by heart. For there is now no condemnation for those who live in Christ Jesus. We all know that. Are you trying to condemn me?
And it carries on.
Does it carry on? Yeah, it does. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought I only had that one verse. Romans 8, chapter 1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who be in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 3, for the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. There is a but to it. There is a but to it. We ain't got no excuse. That's why we confess our sin. We are forgiven of our sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and we continue in this way of holiness. It's not an excuse. It's not a license to do what you want. It's a license to repent. Thank God for that. I make sense to you today, you righteous bunch of people? Two sorts of righteousness, self-righteousness. You know, if your nose is stuck up that far, things fly up it. Self-righteousness, oh. Ready? I would never do that. Be warned. Be warned. If you think you stand, take heed, lest you fall. And don't say, I would never do that. Because maybe you would never do that, but they might not do what you do. There's self-righteousness, or there's God's righteousness. God's righteousness says this. It's all of God. The best I can do is respond to his grace. And the best you can do. 2 minutes. I've not done the important thing, but I'll do it very quickly. Imputed and imparted righteousness. Ooh. When you became a Christian, two things happened as far as righteousness is concerned. Imputed and imparted. One is God imputed, put to your account righteousness. Yeah? That's imputed righteousness. When God speaks about you, he speaks about righteous Andrew. When I speak about Andrew, I think, oh no, he speaks about righteous Andrew. But God is such a good God that he don't leave us then. That's where imparted righteousness comes in it, into us, that we start wanting to change. So righteousness is a gift with a double application. I am righteous, I am becoming righteous. It's all of the grace of God. All right? Shall we stand? Hopefully you've got something today, because it's a bit deep. But sometimes we need to understand this, because if we do not, we start letting the devil rob us. Remember, I was here last time, and I said, I look around this room, and I see a room full of world changers. Or you can change somebody's world. I am now giving you a bit more to help you become a world changer. And that is, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. For those who received the gift of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life.
Thank you, Lord.
Shall reign in life. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, you have heard the words that have been put forward. And you said you send a word and you heal and deliver. So I pray now you would take these words falteringly and uttered. But you would take them and you'd speak to each one of our hearts. That we would get a fresh revelation of who we are.
Thank you, God.
Of what you have done, what you have made us. And once we get this revelation of who we are and what you've made us and what you've made us for, Lord, may we rise up into our destiny and the purpose that you have planned before the foundation of the world for each one of us. That truly in this room there is a room full of world changers. People you have chosen before you made this world. People you knew before you made this world. You have spoken over their life. You have a plan and purpose. And I pray today this revelation of what you have done for them in the Lord Jesus Christ would help them rise up. That mighty army of God, men and women possessing their inheritance, laying hold of that for which you laid hold of them in Jesus. Amen. So we thank you now. And the saints of God say,
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Are you in the way? In closing, Christian, everybody in this room, have you ever said to Jesus, be my Saviour? I am a sinner. Because if you're not in the way, you're lost. I am lost. I need help. I need forgiveness. I need cleansing. I know I've offended you. I have chosen to live my own way. But I ask you now to forgive me, to cleanse me. And if that's you, why don't you just come to pastor after church and just say to him, that's me today. I want to walk this way. I want to walk this new and living way that Jesus has provided. And I thank you now. And I bless you now. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.